Be seated. Take out your outline. We're on part five of this spiritual growth through prayer. And you guys that are meeting in small groups, don't forget to keep your outline. I got a lot of things that irritate me sometimes. But one of the most irritating things to me is like when someone texts or calls me and I don't know who they are. They don't identify themselves some way, you know, because right off, it affects the entire conversation. If I don't know who they are, I'm a little more guarded. I don't mess with them. I don't pick at them. I don't know exactly what tone to use if I don't know who you are on the phone. And I don't know whether it's the Pope or the plumber calling me. So I'm not sure how to address you guys when you don't identify yourself. Isn't that irritating to y'all? It really is me when they text me and I don't know who it is. And so I'm just a little more formal with you if I don't know who you are. I can tell the difference between North Point people and folks in the community. Like if they see me at the grocery store. You know, North Point people, they'll just say, "Jim, what's up? You looking real good today." Or they might say, "Go Vols." But somebody that ain't in North Point, they say, "How you doing, Reverend Pinker?" Nobody in North Point calls me Reverend Pinker. I know right away you don't go to church here when you call me that. There's no closeness there to our relationship. Our relationships determine how we talk to somebody, don't they? It really does. And the same is true with God. At the top of your outline, I put your understanding of what God is really like shapes everything else in your life, including your prayer. Right. Nothing influences your life more than how you view God. Amen. Nothing. And so I wrote down a list of some misconceptions because we all got some misconceptions about God. And so here's a list. Some people think God is, number one, a grumpy God. He's just kind of grumpy. I've talked to some of you guys. And some of you guys think of God as a crouching tiger God. You know, ready to pounce on you when you make the wrong move. And some of you even think of God as a flaky father. And what I mean by that is he's moody. He changes his mind. Now, here's what I used to think he was. The fourth one I put down was a cosmic cop God. And what that means is his whole goal is to make sure that we keep the rules. I used to think of him as a cosmic cop or a dictator. Always demanding more. These are all misconceptions. Or even a Santa Claus God. Somebody's making a list and checking it twice. Keeping a list of who's naughty or nice. And then some of you guys, I think the most prevalent is I call it a Play-Doh God. I call it a Play-Doh God because you make him into any form that you want. You make him into any form that you want. But I got news for you. It doesn't matter who you think God is. It's who he really is. That's important. Yes, amen? So it's important that you and I know the real God. But if you have these misconceptions about God, your prayer is going to be a duty. It's just going to be something that you got to do. And it's going to be boring. It's going to be, I've been waiting to use this word, drudgery. I like that word. Drudgery. But it's just going to be something that you just have to do. And most of the time, you're just going to be motivated by guilt. And that ain't going to get you nowhere. It ain't going to get you nowhere. You got to have the right concept about God because it affects your prayers. Well, so what is God really like? Well, we all know God has many, many characteristics. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere at the same time. He's holy. He's just. He's kind. He's loving. He's faithful. But today, I want to, and next week, I want to look at the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Because it's the goodness of God that is the basis for all prayers. It's the basis for all prayers. Because if God is not a good God, then you and me ain't got no reason to pray. So goodness is the basis. See, the only reason that there's good in the world is because God is a good God. He's a good creator. So without God, there is no good. But there is evil in the world because God doesn't force us to do good. That's why there's evil in the world. There's evil in the world because God has given us a free choice, and we choose to do good sometimes. There's evil in the world. The only reason that there's good in the world is because God is a good God. Amen? He's a good God. And so because God is good, we know four or five things about prayer. And I want you to understand them. Because when you understand how good God is, you're going to enjoy prayer. It's not going to be a duty. It's going to be a delight. So if prayer is boring to you, you don't understand how much God loves you. If prayer is a drudgery to you, then you don't understand just how good God is. God is good. All the time. So I want to look at some implications of the goodness of God and how that's going to change the way that you pray. We're only going to look at about three of them today. So get your outlines real quick. Because God is always good, number one is this. Let's fill them out. God's plans for my life will always be good. God's plans for my life will always be good. God can't deny himself. He can't be evil. By nature, God is good. He can't do bad. He is good. It's my wife's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29. I know what I've planned for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. My plans will give you hope and a good future. And when you call to me and pray, I will listen to you. Do you see the connection here between our purpose and prayer? There's a huge connection here. But between God's plan for your life and prayer. God couldn't just let you be born with no plan. God has never made anything without a purpose. But he gave you a plan for your life because he loves you. He loves you. And God's plan for your life is revealed and it's realized through prayer. Prayer is huge. And the more you pray, the more you're going to understand the purpose for your life. The more you pray. I'm telling you. Everything in your life is a gift from God. I'm telling you guys, God gave you a lot of thought. He gave you, in creating you, a lot of thought. And he wants to bless your life. He's got plans to bless you. He says, you have not because you ask not. He's got plans, but we got to pray. We got to talk to God about it. We got to ask him for it. And I, as your pastor, somebody that loves you, wants you to have these blessings. I really do. Some of you guys have these misconceptions about God. God ain't out to get even with you. I've told you before, he ain't mad at you. He's mad about you. He loves you. God has good plans for your life. Now, other people have bad plans for your life. And you may even make some bad plans for yourself. But God's got good plans for you. Now, God didn't promise everything in our life would be good, but he said he has good plans. He has good plans for us. And sometimes we miss those good plans by our own decisions. We got to own those. Sometimes we miss them on ourselves. And I want to tell you something. Not everything is going to have a happy ending. We live on a broken planet. There is nothing here that's perfect. Heaven is perfection, isn't it? Don't expect heaven on earth. Nothing perfect here. But even in the middle of all this brokenness, God has a good plan for your life. I got news for you. Wherever you're at, wherever you're standing in your life right now, God is greater than your choices, even the bad ones. He's greater than our choices, even the bad ones. He can fit the dumb decisions into a good plan. And I say a big amen to me. I made some dumb decisions, but he fit them in it somehow. He can turn crucifixion into resurrection. Romans 8:28 says this: we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If you say, God, I give you my life, I want a relationship with you, I want to fulfill the purpose that you made for me, I want to tell you, this ain't a promise for everybody in the world. This is a promise for everybody who gave it all to God. Who gave it all to God. He's saying here, not all things are good, but they all work together. They all work together. God said, you know what, Jim? That's all right. I can throw that in there also. It's kind of like cake batter. The ingredients to cake batter by themselves are really, really kind of bitter. Who wants to eat a raw egg? Who wants to eat a spoonful of flour? It's just bitter. But God takes the bitter, puts it in the batter, and makes it all better. Amen? Woo! He's a good God. He's a good God. And the more you pray, the more you know your purpose. Even the stuff that people try to use against you. Don't you remember Joseph? His brothers was jealous of him. Had that new coat. So they sold him off to slavery, but he wound up in second command of Egypt. Confronts his brothers. Look at what he says in Genesis 50. Your plan was to hurt me, but God turned your evil plan into a good plan to save the lives of many people. Here's what you can write down beside that. Here, some of you guys that feel like you suffer from time to time, sometimes you suffer for the benefit of other people. Sometimes you suffer for the benefit of other people. Guess what? That's what Jesus did for you. He did it for me. Jesus Christ on the cross wasn't paying for his sins. He didn't have any. He was paying for mine and yours. You know what preachers call that? Redemptive suffering. He was paying for ours. God can use the hurts that you have for the good of other people. For the good of other people. And the more you trust the goodness of God, let me tell you something about this. The more you trust the goodness of God, the happier that you're going to be. Romans 5:3 says this. Yeah, imagine this right here. So we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn patient endurance. Happiness in life depends on what you know, not what you're going through. And I want you to hear a short testimony of someone who's been going through some stuff. Is this one on right here? You talk about happiness. Let me see. Tell them your names. People want to know who they're talking to, remember? Hold it so close to your mouth, Kyle. It's Kyle Topham. Let me see that. Is that on? Oh, that. Boy, I'm dumb, ain't I? Are we on?
Let me try that one more. Is that it? Nope. You're going to have to stay close to me.
I'll stay close. Nope.
Not close enough? Okay. There we go. There we go. That's been on your ear, though. I don't want that on. There we go. My name is Kyle Topham, and a lot of you know me. And I just wanted to cut up here real short. And first thing I want to say, this is really not easy for me. But what I'm going to share is not a hard luck story. It's actually just the opposite. And I know the church prayed for me probably a little bit a year ago. And one thing that I wanted to share was,
that's it? There we go. It's actually just the opposite. I think that the church has prayed for me. A lot of you know, got this brain tumor. Church prayed for me in the year on chemotherapy, came off of it, got on Thanksgiving. And about, I guess it was the 16th of January, was out of town and had a couple seizures. Hit the floor, phone's not even close. They were trying to get there for that. Not only the phone, and that happened a couple different nights. Foolish enough that I did the same thing a couple different times and didn't get the message. But I know I can church pray for me. It's been really easy to say, well, God, where is the result of that? I still got this stuff, and when these bad things happen, I don't see it. What's going on? Well, it's kind of funny that it's not lost on me that you hit the floor, and you can't get up, you can't even afford the phone. And that was the last thing I really remembered, other than saying, oh, God, help me. And I think most people would be saying that at that time. Well, the next thing I know, both times, I wake up in the ER and had a couple more seizures there. But when I woke up, it wasn't lost on me that I couldn't get to that phone, and those phones don't dial themselves. And so I wanted to see evidence of the prayer a year ago, all the way through Thanksgiving. I believe that he was going to help me, but I couldn't get in that habit of wanting to see the tangible evidence right then, right there.
That's right.
But somewhere during that period, he didn't help me when I wanted to see it. He helped me when I needed to see it. And it happened at that point, and so many good friends here, and it's kind of emotional. Talk about it right now, but so many good friends, and I know so many people have prayed for me, and I know other people are going through things, and I think it's a good idea when we pray for each other, because it might not happen for a year, or it might not happen in this lifetime, but I know it happens, I think, when he needs it for us, and I just want to share that with everybody, because that, I know a lot of folks have asked me what was going on, and so that's it, and I just want to thank everybody for their prayers and continued prayers. And that mainly, and then a lot of smiles have come my way too. And that's always kind of lift you up. But you don't see it in your own eyes, but it happens. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. Just last week, when Kyle did not have the strength to walk, and this him walking and is answered prayer, and I'm tickled for him. God can use even the bad stuff for good if you let him. God cares about you. He cares about your character. He cares about what you're going to become. Become your potential. Everything God does, write this down right here. Everything God does in my life, He does for my good.
That's right. Amen.
Everything God does in my life, He does for my good. Y'all got it wrote down. I want y'all to remember that, some of you guys in your small groups. Everything God does in my life, He does for my good. Now, secondly, because God is always good, number two, God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. And that's what Kyle was just saying. He always gives me, and I'm going to tell you though, if we got what we deserve, probably none of us would be here. None of us would be here. Psalm 103 says, He has not treated us as we deserve for our sins or paid us back for our wrongs in His goodness. He has taken our sins away and removed them as far, I love this phrase, as the east is from the west. You know, there's a north pole and a south pole. That's why I like this phrase. And so it kind of says there's an ending, north and south. But there ain't no east and west pole. It just keeps going. I really like that. So from the east to the west, Jesus paid for our sins. Jesus paid for our sins. Why would you have to pay for them? Why would you have to do that? There's no end to the east and west. He wiped them out. God has forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself. God is a good God. God has mercy on us, no matter the sin. God forgave you, He forgave me, not because we're good, but because He is good. Because He is good. But what I really love about God is not only does He forgive us, but He welcomes us back. Welcomes us back. He doesn't reject us. I don't even like that word. It makes me mad. It brings back lots of emotions when I even think about the word reject. He receives us. It's the exact opposite of what people do. And after being your pastor for the last 20 years, that's what I've learned about you guys. Is your biggest fear is rejection. You don't want to be rejected by anybody. You want to be liked. You want to be loved. And so you avoid rejection. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to go there and possibly face rejection. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to talk to her. I would rather not risk it. And what are you risking? Rejection. And so what do? You wear a mask. Lots of you folks wear a mask. Because you're afraid for other people to know who you really are. This fear of rejection. So you pretend to be somebody that you're not. See, that word rejection hurts, don't it? I'm telling you, it just brings tears to my eyes. Bad juju. God is good, and He will never reject you. That's what I want to tell you. God is good, and He will never reject you. Even when you sin against Him, you and me, we need to come back to Him humbly. Humbly. Psalm 27 says this, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. My enemies are waiting for me to fail. Yet I remain confident that I'll see the goodness of the Lord while I'm living here in the world." You know what? God, I screwed up. I screwed up. Let me tell you something about God. He's a good God, and He's a God of second chances. Ooh, thank goodness. He is a good God. Good, good God. And because God is good and gracious, we can pray and we can always come to Him bold and confident about anything that we want to pray about because He's a good God. He has forgiven us. He's a God of second chances. We can be bold when we pray. Look at Hebrews 4. Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly with confidence, this is prayer, to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find the grace to help us when we need it. God is a good God. Number three, because God's always good, God puts my good above his own good. Now, I know that kind of sounds kind of sketchy to some of you guys right now, but just follow with me. God puts my good above his own good. You know what this is? This is the very heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel. This is the good news that the king represents him. The king sacrifices himself for the peasants. Now, in fairy tales, everybody else dies to protect the king. There's only one story in the world that the king dies for the people, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is a good God. We deserve death and we deserve to go to hell. And he said it has to be paid with the blood, and God says, you know what? I'll do it. I'll send my son. John 10 says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. I will sacrifice my life for the sheep. The shepherd said, I'll sacrifice. You know any shepherd that'll die for their sheep? I don't know any shepherds, but I'm sure none of them would die for them. But the good shepherd, he said, I'll die for my sheep. He died for us. And so when you and I, when we look at the cross, it's a symbol of God's goodness. The perfect died for the imperfect. Right. And that's love. So I'm going to put the shoe on the other foot. Don't you reject his goodness. Come on. Not today. Bless you. Not today. Don't you reject his goodness. Not only did he die to pay for our sins, there's a great exchange happening right here. Y'all have heard me talk about it before. The great exchange. And it happens at the cross. He takes all the bad out of you. Man, he looked at me a few years ago and he said, I'm going to take all the bad out of you, Jim. And I'm going to put all, remember, he's a good God. He said, then I'm going to exchange something. I'm going to put my goodness on you. Yeah. So now when God looks at me, he don't see the crap. Because an exchange has happened. All my badness is on him on the cross. It's nailed there. And I got the goodness of Jesus Christ. I'm a new person. I'm clothed in goodness. An exchange happened. This is the best news in the world. It's why we do what we do here. God is good. Romans 4:25. Jesus died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness. His goodness is poured onto you and all your sin is washed out, it's wiped out. And that's what God sees when he looks at you now. People can point out all the bad stuff about me, but it don't matter. When God looks at me, he sees goodness. He sees goodness. And what God did on the cross, you say, well, what's all that got to do with prayer? What God did on the cross makes prayer possible. Romans 8:32, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave Christ up for us all, won't he now give us everything else that we need? When Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, he solved your biggest problem. Every other problem that you have today is small potatoes. He solved your biggest problem. If he died for you, don't you think he loves you enough to help with your finances? If he died for you, don't you think he loves you enough to help you with your children? If he died for you, don't you think he loves you enough to help you with your relationships? If he died for you, don't you think he loves you enough to help you with your health? If he died for you, don't you think he loves you enough for your career? I want to tell you something, guys. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can't approach the throne boldly and confidently in prayer. Nothing. That's incredible. That's incredible. And in the words of Kyle Topham, that's all I got. Would you accept his gift of goodness today? Don't reject him. You know how it feels. He won't reject you. Let's pray. My Lord. My Lord, thank you. Lord, I wondered who all would be here today. And I prayed that they would come willing to receive your word. And I believe they did. I'm glad you look at us now as believers. And you see the goodness, and we're clothed in Jesus this morning. I pray that my folks begin to talk to you boldly, with confidence, a renewed strength. Because prayer is going to change some things. I believe people's lives is going to be better. I believe relationships will be restored. I believe pride is going to be just slapped out of the way. Lord, we love you, and it's in the mighty name of Jesus who saved us, who took our sins and paid for them. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the beautiful display of your love as we love one another. For we love you. Be good to us, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Y'all be nice to someone this week.